will be talking about the strange disappearance of the Sodder children.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the story.
In this story, we'll be talking about the Sodder family and what happened to the children of the family. This case haunted a small town in West Virginia since 1945.
George and Jenny Sodder, who were married, and then immigrated to the United States from Italy. In the United States, they had 10 children. At the time of the fire of the Sodder house, the children's names and ages were Sylvia, age 2, Betty, age 6, Jenny, age 8, Louis, age 9, Martha, age 12, Maurice, age 14, and George Jr., age 16, and John, age 23. The eldest son was in the military, and his age wasn't clarified anywhere. And the eldest daughter, her age was 17, and her name was Marion.
In this case, there isn't much evidence. It's all pretty much rumors, which is one of the reasons this case is still unsolved.
George and Jenny are both considered a very big part of the vibrant Italian community of Fayetteville, West Virginia. While Locke built a fence to protect from George's, he was a very opinionated person. He accurately criticized the Italian director, Benito Mussolini, and the Italy's fascist government. Naturally, a lot of the Italians living in the community did not agree with him because they supported the dictator.
One person in particular had a very suspicious, loud, and rude outburst towards George. A few months before the Sodder house fire, a man tried to sell George life insurance. George refused the offer, and the man went ballistic.
The insurance salesman then said, "Your house will go up in smoke, and your children are going to be destroyed." Now, this sounds very suspicious considering what happened to the Sodder house and the Sodder children, which we'll talk about later.
Another visitor who was seeking work warned George a pair of fuse boxes would cause a fire someday.
In the weeks before Christmas of 1945, George's older sons had also noticed a strange car that parked along the main highway through town. Its occupants were watching the younger Sodder children as they returned from school.
On January 24th, 1945, the younger children explained Sylvia asked if they could stay up late. Jenny and the mother said they could as long as they turned off the lights to care for criminals and closed the curtains.
George and Jenny and their other four children fell asleep. The eldest daughter was on the couch.
In the middle of the night, the telephone rang. Jenny left her bedroom and went into the hall to answer. A woman was on the other end of the line, and it sounded like there were several people talking in the background. The woman then asked Jenny for someone Jenny didn't know. Jenny told the woman that she had the wrong number. The woman then laughed strangely and quickly hung up.
Jenny was puzzled by the strange call, but her attention shifted quickly. The lights were still on, the curtains were still open, and the front door was unlocked. Jenny just presumed that the five children had forgotten to do these tasks. She soon completed all of the tasks and went back to bed.
While Jenny was back in bed, she drifted back into sleep until she heard what sounded like an object landing on the roof and rolling down along the side of the house. Jenny went back to sleep but woke up about 30 minutes later, and then she smelled smoke. It was about 1 to 1:30 on Christmas morning.
After Jenny smelled the smoke, she went into the hallway and saw smoke coming out of her husband's office. She scrambled back into her bedroom to grab Sylvia and wake her husband up. Jenny and Sylvia, George, John, George Jr., and Miriam all escaped, but the fire engulfed the stairs that led to the younger kid's bedroom.
There was still luck because George always put the ladder against the side of the house. He was thinking about climbing through a top floor window and getting his kids out. When he ran through the ladder, it was gone. He tried to back one of his coal trucks into the house, pushed himself into the window, but the engine wouldn't start.
The misfortunes were never ending. Buckets full of water the Sodders wanted to use to put out the fire were frozen over. The phones inside neighboring homes wouldn't connect to operators. A perfect storm of misfortune came upon the Sodders, seemingly without any explanation.
Eventually, a neighbor got in touch with the fire chief. For some reason, though, the fire chief and fire truck didn't make it to the Stoddard house until 7 hours after the fire started, even though the house was only a 30-minute drive away.
The firefighters did a quick search, only to find no remains of the other five Stoddard children. The fire chief told Stoddard parents that the fire, which was said to be caused by faulty wiring, was likely hot enough to completely destroy the bodies. Something did sit quite right with Jenny and George. They didn't think the fire was caused by faulty wiring. They believed it wasn't an accident, and they believed their children may still be alive.
Going back to the man that yelled at George about how his house was going to burn down and his children would be harmed, a private investigator later revealed that the same man served on the coroner's jury that established the fire at the slaughterhouse as an accident.
Another weird instance from the fire department is that the fire department had found some bones and a heart at the scene, but for whatever reason, they didn't tell the Stodders. When the family found out, years later, the chief led them to the site where the remains had been buried. Upon testing the heart, it was found to be a beef liver, and the bones belonged to someone far older than any of the Stodder children, which is very suspicious.
In 1947, George and Jenny made an appeal directly to J. Edgar Hoover to get the FBI involved in the investigation. They received a letter saying that they would have liked to help, but they don't have jurisdiction. FBI agents said they would be happy to assist if local authorities give them the go-ahead. But the Fayetteville Police and Fire Department said no. That is very strange. They ruled an act of a fire. Maybe they didn't want FBI agents digging the lab.
As the years went on, rumors about the story extended beyond West Virginia. Photos and stories poured in from strangers around the country who were convinced they spotted the missing children. One in particular, allegedly of a much older Louis Stoddard, was so convincing to the family that the photo was hung over the fireplace in their new home.
Another instance is someone said they saw young Martha in a convent in St. Louis. There was also a hotel operator who said they saw the children right after the fire. Another was someone sent in a picture of a young girl from New York City who looked so much like Betty that George drove to New York to see her, who was turned away by her parents.
George and Jenny's worries eventually led them to a place on a billboard on Route 16 in Anstead, West Virginia. They're offering a cash reward for any information on their children's whereabouts.
There are still many questions that haven't been answered to this day. Here are some of them. Where did the children go? Why was the family's ladder gone and later found in a nearby embankment? What was the banging sound that Jenny heard on the roof? What about the threats of the insurance salesman? Also, if the fire was due to faulty wiring, why was the electricity working during and before the fire? Why was there no burning flesh smell, and why were no bodies or bones ever found, even though the bones of a much older person were found at the scene? Who is that man's bones who were found at the scene?
For more than 70 years, these questions have stirred the imaginations of the Fayetteville community and the rest of the country. Though the Stoddard children's disappearance was likely remained a mystery forever, the circumstances surrounding that tragic Christmas in 1945 will never be forgotten.
Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast. It was really fun to make, and we hope you all enjoyed.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.